Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, 12th through the 15th verses. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. And this passage of Scripture starts out addressed to the king of Tyrus. But if you'll open your eyes, you'll see that it changes very quick, and it's not the king of Tyrus. And so oftentimes that's the way the prophecies of the Scripture are. They seem to be addressing something in that day, and then you look and they're addressing something eternal. And so he starts this, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, you seal up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You have been in Eden, the garden of God. Well, the king of Tyrus was never in Eden. But who this was spoken to, he said, you have been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that you were created. And so he speaks to this one that he starts as the king of Tyrus, but he said, you seal up the sum, the fullness, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden where everything was good. Every precious and beautiful stone was your covering. He said, the workmanship of your tabrets and your pipes was prepared in you in the day you were created, and you've seen that 14th verse there. You are the anointed cherub that covers. And we begin to understand he's not talking about an earthly king, but he describes him here as the anointed cherub that covers. And I want you to think first, and this just struck me, I've known this passage for years and years, but I never paid attention to that third word of that 14th verse. You are the anointed cherub that covereth. And I always understood that this seemed to speak that he was the angel, that the Scripture will give us a glimpse that stood before the throne of God, that stood there and ministered before the Lord. But he says this, you are the anointed cherub. And that just tells me of a special position, a special purpose, a special calling that God had for this angel, for this being. And God created him for that purpose, for that calling, so that he would fill up the sum of what God wanted to express, or what God wanted to say, or what God wanted to show. He says, you fill up the sum full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You are the anointed cherub that covers. It seems to speak of an angel, as I said earlier, that stood there before the throne of God, ministering before God himself. The Scripture speaks, he said, the workmanship of your tabrets and your pipes, musical instruments, was prepared in you in the day that you were created. And many believe because of this that his ministry before God was in worship and music and song before the Lord. And I see no reason not to believe that, or not to accept that this anointed angel. Can you see that that's what he's saying? You're the anointed angel. An anointing from God to minister before the Lord. You are the anointed cherub that covers. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. This is wonderful. I have set thee so. I created you for this. I have set thee so. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked up and down in the stones of fire. And I'm not going to say that I understand all this, but God speaks of His holy mountain, not a physical mountain, but His abode, His presence. And He's speaking to this angel, to this cherub. And He said, you were anointed and you were created perfect in beauty, anointed for a purpose, for a ministry, a ministering spirit. And as the book of Hebrews will call, there before the throne of God, you're in my holy mountain. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. And I want you to hear the heart of God concerning this one that He calls, you are the anointed cherub. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. Now, let me figure out who He's speaking of here. In Isaiah 14, He'll call Him Lucifer. The book of Revelation will call Him the dragon. Jesus will call Him Satan. Here, God called Him the anointed cherub. Anointed of God. Standing before the throne of God. Ministering in the presence of God. Perfect in your ways from the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you. And we're going to talk about that iniquity a bit this morning. Iniquity is actually a word, I believe it's the word, it's actually it's a perverseness. And a perverseness and our perversion is something is not as it should be. And that iniquity is a darkness. It's an evil. And I'm not going to take the time to go through everything that describes that iniquity. But Isaiah 14 does tell us what it was. It was that He said in His heart, I will be like the Most High God. I will sit in the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will be worshipped. Paul the Apostle speak of the man of sin in his day that was working, beginning to work and would come, and it was still the same desire above all that is called God or is worshipped, so that he as God would sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And Satan's or Lucifer's or the anointed cherub's desire never changed. That was the iniquity, the darkness found in the one that was created perfect. Just read a little bit more. 16th verse, maybe to the 19th verse, after iniquity was found in him. Can you see the way that he began? perfect, filling up the sum, wisdom and beauty, anointed of God. That strikes me. Why? Because I know that the Lord anointed me for ministry. I know that there's so many in this place that God has anointed. This cherub was anointed of God. Until iniquity was found in him. And he begins, by the multitude of your merchandise, you filled the midst of you with violence. You have sinned. I will cast you out as a profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings that they may behold you. You have defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your traffic. I will bring you forth a fire from the midst of thee. It will devour you. I will bring you to ashes upon the earth in sight of all them that behold thee, and all that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee, and thou shalt be a terror, and shalt be no more. And this was God's judgment and indignation against one that began, that God Himself said, you're perfect. You fill up the sum until iniquity was found. And you begin to look, and this was in my heart this morning, to follow that iniquity. And Isaiah 14, when he speaks of Lucifer, they spoke of him. He said, are you the one that wouldn't open the prisons of its captives? Are you the one that oppressed nations, that struck fear in the heart of kings? Lucifer, are you the one? But I want you to see Lucifer from the one that stood there at the throne of God, anointed of God to minister before the Lord, perfect in his ways until iniquity was found in him. But the scripture tells us, Revelation's the 12th chapter, and he's given a picture of eternity here in the book of Revelations. And I want you to see at the third verse there, Revelations 12 and 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. That's generally accepted, and I accept it too. This was a third part of the angels, of the angelic creation, that Lucifer, or that covering cherub, persuaded or infected, however you want to do it, and took with him in his rebellion against God. I want you to see that. His tail took a third part. And the scripture, Peter will describe of the angels that left their first estate. You know, he said they're reserved in everlasting chains of darkness and demon spirits that weren't created that way. And that's what it's important to understand, that each of them created for a purpose, created for the glory of God, created there to stand before God and to minister in the presence of God. But one of them, iniquity was found in, and before it was over, a third of the angels were swept away in his iniquity. Scripture, he says, his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, did cast them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations. Who knows who that man-child is? Jesus the Christ. That a child was caught up unto God to his throne. And he's not talking about a birth. He's talking about the birth and then Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. The woman fled into the wilderness. The woman here, the church, the new Jerusalem. the mother of us all, where she is a place prepared of God that they should feed her 1,200 threescore. And this is like a picture of things that have gone on in eternity that we're looking at. Seventh verse. And there was a war in heaven. And I want you to think about that. Someone said, well, it's the heavens. It's not heaven itself. There was a war in heaven. When you think of heaven, do you think of a place stricken by war? How many of you look at the news and you look at some of the cities and the wars that have gone on, or some of the cities of Europe from World War II, and the beautiful, old cities and just destroyed, with the bombs and the tanks and the beautiful lands, and they're soiled with blood. Well, the Scripture says this, there was a war, where? In heaven. You know when this war began? You know what the source of this war was? Iniquity was found in the anointed cherub. It was the source of this war. And there was a war in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought, and the dragon fought, and his angels. What's his angels? That's the third part of the angels of God that left their first estate, what they were created for, what they were anointed for. They left because of the iniquity that was found in the anointed cherub. And they warred. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place any more found in heaven. And that great dragon was cast out, and tells us who the dragon is. That old serpent, the one that was in the garden deceiving Eve and bringing Adam into the transgression, called the devil and Satan, the one that deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now has come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God, the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And that's Calvary, where salvation came and strength and the kingdom of God. It's Jesus offering Himself that brought an end to a war that had waged in heaven since iniquity was found in the anointed cherub. We speak of this great redemption, this great salvation. You say, my soul lay in the balance. Heaven and earth, all eternity lay in the balance. And the blood of the Scriptures, they overcame by the blood of their Lamb, the word of the testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. That dragon, the one called that old serpent, and Satan, the one that deceives the whole world, he was cast out. Well, Jesus told us it would be so. He said, going to the cross, now is the judgment of the world. Now shall the prince of the world be cast out. And if I be lifted up, will it draw all men to me? But I want to leave this with you before we move on just a minute. That a perfect angel, many think, and maybe so the highest of the angels, anointed to minister before God, an anointed cherub there in God's holy mountain. Perfect until iniquity was found. Or I would say that perfect until iniquity entered. And that iniquity, listen to me, turned heaven upside down. Brought it into a war. A spiritual conflict that would not end until the Son of God Himself was nailed to a cross. scripture, Hebrews, we're not going to go there, that tells us not only were we purged, but he said the heavenly things themselves were purged with the blood of Christ. But a single iniquity in a single cherub almost destroyed eternity.
Amen.
Let's go back to another account in the Scripture from the beginning. Genesis, the first chapter. 26, 27th verse. This is the account of the creation. Genesis 1 and 1. You know it? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. 26 verse, and God said, what? Let us make man, how? In our image and in our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man, how? In his own image. And in the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. He sent them forth, next verse, to replenish the earth, to subdue it. 31st verse. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was what? Very good. Very good. You go into the next chapter, and God places man in the garden. This, I don't know, someone could correct me, you know, God's ultimate creation. Sometimes I look at man and I wonder about that. But he creates man as he had created cherub. And I'm going to say something to you. I don't know if when he created man that iniquity had been found in the covering cherub yet. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to argue with someone either way. Because it seems to me that when that anointed cherub was in the garden, God was saying, this is perfect. I've got my man, my woman that I've created in my image. I've got my cherub that I've anointed. Places them in the garden. Tells them, they may eat of every tree except the tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day that they will eat, what would happen? They would surely die. Surely. They would die. Let's go to Romans, the 5th chapter, 12th verse. You know this story. I'm just wanting to present it this morning, maybe in a way you've not heard it. Adam and Eve was placed in the garden, the cherub, the anointed cherub. I don't know. This may be where iniquity was found in him. I don't know. I'm going to assume that he's still the trusted cherub. You're the one, Lucifer, that stands before my throne. I'll trust you with my creation. I'll trust you in the garden. I'll trust you with Adam and Eve. And yet he comes to them, whether that was the way that it was or whether this war in heaven had been going on for longer time than I could express. I don't know. But he comes to them in the form of a serpent, offering them, now I want you to hear me, his iniquity. Offering them. What was his iniquity? I will be like the Most High God. What did he tell them? You disobey God and you will be as God. Offering them his iniquity. And they ignored God, transgressed against God, and obeyed the serpent. And that tail that struck a third of the angels began to reach further. That tail that is described in Revelations 12 that brought a third of the stars from heaven and reached into the garden and swept not two, but swept humanity in to his iniquity. Scripture says, wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. Where did sin go? Don't be offended at me. But it went to your grandchildren. I want you to see something. One transgression that opened the door and brought in Lucifer's iniquity. Two people created in the image of God. And their first born son is a murderer. Now you listen. Their first born son is a murderer. Within not too many generations. It's a lot, maybe for our time span, but for their time span, not too many generations. Two lifespans of Adam. God is looking at humanity. And it says, their thoughts are on evil continually. And the scripture says, God said, it repenteth me, I repent that I ever made them. Destruction and violence filled the land. Perversion and immorality and idolatry had permeated humanity and until the point that God sent a flood. You know what I believe may be the only thing that spared even Noah? You say, well, Noah was a righteous man. Yes, he was. But Noah also carried that iniquity. But maybe the one thing that spared Noah is that in the day that Adam and Eve opened the door of Lucifer's iniquity, God promised a seed that would bruise that serpent's head. He said, Satan, this is not over. This is not finished. This will not stand. Now that very well could be the reason that eight souls were saved. You follow the course of humanity that began in the image of God. And it's much like the course that followed in the heavens. And there was war in heaven. and there was war upon the earth, and there was perverseness and uncleanness. You know the stories of Sodom and Gomorrah because of the perverse and perverted ways that came up before God, and He said, I can't have this anymore. But this continued the way of man, and even after the judgment of the flood, and man returned to his own ways. Why? Because iniquity, sin, had entered. I'll tell you something, and hear this with understanding. What was greater than the transgression of Adam was the iniquity that it brought in. In a way, they're equal because one brought it in. It was the death that God told them would happen. But it was the iniquity that brought in, that became, hear me, a part of every man, of every woman. Some people call it the sinful nature. I don't. I call it the sin or the iniquity that polluted the nature of man. But you look, beginning with Cain murdering his brother, to the history as this iniquity abounded, to the horrors and the atrocities culminating with fallen humanity taking the one who created humanity and nailing him to a cross. Here you say, what's the purpose of God? Yes, but listen to me. Man's heart wasn't to fulfill the purpose of God. Jesus had told him in a parable, he said, they'll say, come, let us kill the Son, and the kingdom will be ours. And that iniquity that we look and say, well, it was just, they made a mistake. Those butchers over in the Middle East right now are butchering because of that mistake. And let's don't get so high and mighty. The butchers of our history past. You said, not mine. I promise you trace far enough back, and it's going to be the butchers of your history past. And I'll say something else. If the Lord should tarry, you trace far enough forward, and it will be the butchers of your, of my seed. Why? Because by one man, sin entered. It destroyed heaven. It destroyed earth. Scripture tells us, Titus 2:13-14. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of a great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might what? Redeem us from all iniquity. That which was found in the anointed cherub, He offered to man. Man took it And they took it for you, and they took it for me. Sometimes we think of ourselves as above this. Thank God we're not the butchers today. And our offenses don't matter. And I guess people could argue that back and forth, but I will say this. What was given to you does matter. What Adam received from the serpent for you does matter. It destroyed heaven, destroyed earth. It will destroy you, and it will destroy anywhere it is found. He gave himself to redeem us from all iniquity. To take from you and to take you from that iniquity that is the source of all man's sin. What did Jesus say? That the defiles of man comes where? Out of the heart. It's that iniquity. That perverseness. That when God made man was not there. Jesus gave himself to redeem us from all iniquity. And that's why so often in the gospel people, their idea of redemption keeps them in darkness, because all they think about is sin and punishment. And sin is punishment, but God loves, so He's not, and it's not this. I want to tell you, there are issues that are so much larger than that. There is the love of God. The grace of God. We're going to turn to one more place. Book of Revelation. 21st chapter, the 23rd verse through the end of the chapter, 27 there. How many remember the Ebola crisis of a few months back? You know, just ravaging, what was it, Nigeria? I'll tell you something. I don't say this because I want to say it. I want to say it to make a point. Someone told me something they thought was funny. They said, well, maybe it's just nature's way of taking care of things. You know what I told them? I don't get mad. I said, that sounds like the words of a rich white man. Horrifying. We're in America, we're going to quarantine hospital and everything, but it's just going to take care of themselves. I honor the doctors who risked and some gave their lives. Oh, I was so upset. But there's kind of two fronts. They wanted to combat it. They wanted to cure. Which very few that were affected were cured. Why? Because they didn't have a hospital of unlimited resources. But it was either cure or contain. And how many remember the screams? Well, we need to ban air flights. We need to stop this. We need, and maybe good, sound measures. But that wasn't to cure anyone, was it? That was to contain. Because one could come not knowing what they had, not realizing what they had. And yet, before they understood, before the symptoms were full-blown, someone gave me an illustration, and I don't remember it. They say, you know, like the flu virus may give a 10,000 exposure, And this virus in the same amount would give 10 billion. That's how contagious it was. That was the issue that was so great. And so one could not, knowing what they had, not knowing, but could infect multitudes. And say, I'm all right. And so the second front was containment or quarantine or what, but that it spread no further. Brother Surface has been preaching. And it's not the kind of stuff that makes you want to do a victory dance. Because if you haven't been here, well, you should have been. He's been preaching on the lake of fire. I mean, I don't like it when churches preach that. I trust that one day that you won't be standing saying, why didn't someone tell me? Why didn't someone tell me? This chapter begins, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away. And I saw no more sea, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down. And he begins to describe the New Jerusalem. But don't see what he starts out. I saw a new heaven and earth for what? The old heaven and earth were passed away. And he begins to describe the new and the glories of the new. And in the 23rd verse, the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them that are saved walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all day or night, for there is no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise. The word no wise, I looked it up, it's a double negative. And I looked, well, a double negative means that it's now not a negative. But then you read further, it's not a double negative in this sense. It's a double negative in reaffirming the absolute not. Absolutely not. Will anything enter this new heavens? Absolutely not. Will anything enter this new earth? No cherub that has iniquity. No man that contains that iniquity. It will not destroy here. Like it destroyed here. Iniquity. Bound up in the heart of man. Will not enter there. Are you glad? I said, are you glad? We hear so much of the philosophy of religion. God loves you. That's not going to matter. Forgive me if I put God's terms, or even liken God's terms to my terms. But he said, I've been burnt twice. It's not going to happen again. My anointed cherub destroyed my heavens. My anointed man destroyed my earth. It will not. My Son destroyed iniquity. We can stand to our feet this morning. You can spend the rest of your life listening to someone to tell you that it's not really going to matter. I promise you, when you stand in eternity, you will be reminded that the Word of God says it does. I often tell people Jesus failed the Pharisee sin test. The issue of iniquity is not about meeting someone's religious standard. It's not about that at all. Did you know Jesus failed the sin test? Not God's sin test. He did such unthinkable things as healing on the Sabbath day, eating without washing his hands. I'll tell you this. First, I'll say, the one that tells you that we're all sinners and always will be is lying to you. They're lying to you. But then I'll tell you this. That doesn't mean that a child of God will always say the right word or make the right choice. You ever made the wrong choice? That didn't make you a sinner. Now, if the choice was sin, that's something totally different. You know, getting saved didn't make me any smarter. If I trust the Lord, it gave me a wisdom that's beyond me. But if I get to thinking things my own way, I can get pretty dumb. But I'll tell you this. And surface, 32 years ago, Jesus took my sin and iniquity away. Yes, He did. And I'll tell you boldly that I'm one of the saved, that He says, enter that city. When He said, there's nothing that defiles. Are you one of the saved? You say, well, I'm still a sinner in my sin. You're not one of the saved. See, let's don't just play with words and make them mean whatever we want them to mean. We say, but that means God will overlook it. If He does, it'll be worse than what happened here. It'll be worse than what happened in the heavens. Because it was one. And you're telling me He's going to overlook it for millions? But I tell you, as I've told you before, and I will tell you again, Jesus shed His blood to to take it away. What Adam received for you, Jesus shed his blood to take it away. This is the gospel. This is good news. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyone need to talk to the Lord this morning? Altars are open. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. You know, there's times the Lord brings us the things and understand all over again why He has us preach like we preach. Because you've not been in these services, I'm going to remind you something, brother, but service has been sharing its truth. You're going to be somewhere. In eternity, you're going to be somewhere. When all things are done, there's only two options. There's that new heavens, new earth, that heavenly city, or there's the lake of fire. Only two options. One for everything that defiles and makes a lie, and one where nothing that defiles. The redeemed walk there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.